American Podcast, and as you should know by now, I'm your host, Johnny Joey Jones. To leave an impact, to make a difference, to build something with your hands to call a legacy, something others can enjoy, those may be some of the most rewarding, proud American goals anyone could achieve, and today's guest has done just that. Tyler Merritt is the CEO and founder of Nylon Apparel, a military-inspired apparel company here in my home state of Georgia, actually, which I'm super proud of. He's a veteran, an entrepreneur, a philanthropist, a family man, but today he's our guest. Tyler, thanks so much for coming on, man.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. It's been a while.
So full disclosure, you and I have worked together here, different shows at Fox. I've been a fan of your company for a while, and I've known your name for a while. But I really didn't know much about you other than you started this company. It's an amazing company. Everybody that gets to be involved with it enjoys it. And I thought, you know what more proud American than an Army veteran who started a private company and has gotten people energized and just positive about it. And then I ran into to one of your colleagues or employees the other night, and it all kind of came together. So thanks for coming on.
No, it's been an incredible journey. I'll say that for sure. And I think you're talking about Matt Leiter. You know, he's my president of business development, a good old Georgia boy as well. He kind of came on out of nowhere. I want his job. Like, I think this weekend he's out hanging out with the Undertaker, and then he'll be out hanging out with some country artists. And, you know, he gets to go and tell people about who we are and what we're about. And he's that extrovert. You know, I'm that introvert. I like to be the guy behind the scenes and hang out pretty much between my house and the office. And, my work is my family, and I go to work every day and I have an incredible time with my family. So, I can't say how blessed I am and how appreciative I am to be able to come to an awesome show like this.
Well, we'll get to Nylon and all the great things you're doing, but let's back it up. Tell me a little bit about yourself. I think you grew up in Connecticut and then went to West Point. Just tell me kind of how all that came to be.
Yeah. Born and raised in Connecticut, moved to Florida. I got in trouble a little bit in high school. And, my parents came to a mutual decision that sent me to a military school in Pennsylvania. So I went to Valley Forge Military Academy, for my last 2 years of school. The best thing that ever happened, because I went from a 1.6 GPA punk kid who, loved nothing but fighting, getting in trouble, skipping school, hanging out with girls, which I still do enjoy that, but just a very distracted kid. And, I went to military school, got into wrestling, got into, actually applying myself. And, I remember talking to a recruiter wanting to go to West Point, and it was right around 9/11, right? So the towers hit. I was coming from wrestling practice. I see the, planes crashing in, and it was not even a decision at that point. I'm going to go serve. My brother, was enlisted inside. I'd already gone out to Germany and visited him. Actually got stabbed in the chest hanging out with my brother in the barracks when I was 16. It's a whole different story.
I like how you just gloss over getting stabbed in the chest. We'll come back to that.
Now, how it goes to the shenanigans, right? So I was young, dumb, full of fill in the blank. And, that's what you do. You go out, hang out with your buddies, drink and womanize. And I had to kind of come to terms with applying myself. And the Army seemed like the right thing to apply myself after watching the planes run into the tower. And it still makes my arms, the hair of my arms stand up because at that point it was either just immediately enlist or, go down the path of following my West Point, aspirations. And my brother convinced me to just stick with being an officer. He was enlisted. He actually went into being green to gold because he didn't want to salute his little brother.
Just to clarify, green to gold, he went from enlisted to officer. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Sorry about that.
You're good.
No, I'm military though. But, I think that 9/11 changed me, changed a lot of other people our age. And, I wanted to take the fight to the enemy, just like my grandfather wanted to do so when he was 17, storming the beaches of Iwo Jima. And as a proud Marine, just like yourself, You know, he got shot in the knee, shot in the helmet, never talked about it, drank himself to death. You know, in short summation, the ripe old age of 50. So want to kind of break those cycles, but I want to serve. So I did enjoy drinking. I still enjoy socially drinking, but I used to be a little silly. But my recruiter told me if he could get me into West Point, he could get anyone. You know, I've been arrested 3 times at that point at a 1.6 freaking GPA, but I was a pretty good wrestler and I applied myself the last couple of years and, I ended up getting it. And, then once I was at West Point, I knew I wanted to fly. That's all I've ever wanted to do. So, kick butt in, most everything except for I got in a lot of trouble at West Point, walked a lot of hours. End up going to flight school. At flight school, I knew I wanted to fly tanks. So I flew Apaches. I knew I wanted to go straight to the next thing cooking overseas. So I think I was in Hunter for about, Hunter Airfield in Savannah for about 3 weeks for shipping off to Iraq. And I think day one, mission one, we're getting lit up with machine guns and all kinds of craziness. And it went on for a while. And learned that, I enjoy serving my country. I enjoy protecting our guys on the ground. That's the only thing that matters. And I saw the black helicopters going in and out of buildings and doing crazy things. And I thought, I want to do that. So applied for 160th the day I got home from Iraq from that, long tour. And said hi to my family, said goodbye to my family, went to assess. And that's kind of where things picked up speed. It went up the 160th and just stayed there.
Is 160th a Ranger or SF unit or?
Oh, I'm sorry. So yeah, the 160th Special Operations Aviation Regiment. So it's the Night Stalkers.
I've heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. So within the Tier 1 groups, you've got your SEAL Team 6, your Delta Force, different tiers and. 160th has tier 1, tier 2 elements, but that's kind of like the pinnacle for Army aviation.
Yeah.
And that's all I really wanted to do. So got to have the opportunity to serve as a 160th Air Mission Commander for the majority of my career. And here we go. The biggest accomplishment in my life, I think, was in the pinnacle of my military career was going to 160th, get to serve with some of the most elite individuals and see how things can operate when you let, those that want to do bad things to bad people, do their job. And, I enjoyed it for the time I could. I ended up getting hurt, not to the extent, of yourself, but to the point where I couldn't fly anymore. And went to West Point as a faculty member. So I started and ended my career there. But at the time, intermixed with this while I was in the 160th, I decided to create a t-shirt company as a side gig. And that obviously has evolved. So that generally summarizes my military career and generally leads into how I'm now manufacturing t-shirts.
Well, there's a lot there. There's a lot to unpack, and we only have a short time because this is a podcast and people's attention spans get smaller and smaller as our country evolves. But I do want to go back and talk about something because some of this stuff I can go along and find out. But when you talk about, how you were kind of, and I understand this, I graduated high school as someone who was in honors classes but had a 2.7 GPA. I had the aptitude. I didn't have the discipline or care. And it sounds like you were kind of probably – you obviously have the aptitude due to the things you've accomplished since you've become an adult. You probably were struggling on the discipline and the care part. And was there one specific moment or even a thing, like you mentioned wrestling, but you didn't go into detail, that gave you kind of that kick in the butt or motivation or like things kind of enlightened you at that early age?
Yeah, I had to grow up kind of quick. And so when I say that, my father still is with me, but when I was a freshman in high school, I was working my butt off so I could help take care of things, make ends meet. It was just me and my father living in this crappy apartment. I'd get into a lot of fights with, I was somewhat of a minority in my high school. And I was just going down the path of least resistance at the time. I was
trying to have a lot of fun in a short period of time and not really focusing on the future. And then I ran into a buddy that had left and gone to this military school. He talked about how it kind of changed him being focused and purposely. We were both wrestlers at that time, and he was much more fit than me at that time. So I just felt the need to kick my own butt and put myself, to purpose. And that was probably that moment in my, youth. And then even going to Valley Forge, I still would go and visit my brother, like I said, in Germany, and we would still kind of do the same shenanigans. And then obviously, getting into bar fights at 16 is something that has to come to an end. But I think I spent 2 months in the hospital there and lying there for a while. The knife pierced my lung, hit my aorta. Very near death experiences tend to change your outlook on life. And I'm sure that's something that you can attest to.
No, you're absolutely right. I think for me, it was because I was a little bit older and I'd been through the maturation part of bad experiences. I had a couple of things, not quite as severe, to flip the script a little bit, as what you went through as far as my awakening. But I ended up in the wrong place at the wrong time, surrounded by the wrong people. And by the grace of God, got out of it. And I went home, and the look on my dad's face, it wasn't disappointment. It was concern. It was, what did I do wrong? What should I have done? How do I help my son? And I read his face, and I was like, you know what? My dad suffers to lay brick and block every day. My mom suffers to clean other people's houses. And if I'm not going to make it out of college, if that's not going to be what it is, I've got to go do something to honor their sacrifice. And the Marine Corps ended up being it for me. But then kind of to talk about that near-death experience, it was like I said, losing my legs. This isn't about me, but just to say, I think people at home can put themselves in your shoes in a lot of ways and say, you know what? Yeah, I had that moment myself. It might not have been the military, but it was something in my life that said, hey, this isn't the path, And I think that's a very American experience, not just military thing.
No, I 100% agree. We have those life-changing moments, where we decide we need to be better. Then we have those life-changing moments where we realize that there's other people who depend on us. And for me, being a commander, being in charge of people's lives, that has the same translation when you go to business. I'm in charge of people's livelihoods. I've almost 250 people that depend on me, plus my children. And that's that realization. You have your first child, that it's no longer just about you, that you get that feeling that your parents had of, I have to do better for you. And my father is the guy who would take the shirt off his back and give it to homeless workers. He actually picks up people, takes our 15-passenger van every day and picks up homeless people to come work at night as part of our kind of mission statements. And if you can kind of look back and see those times you decided to change for the better, for me, it was having children, my daughters. I need to do better for them. I want them to have a less chaotic and hectic childhood, right? I moved 26 times in my life. I don't ever want to move again. Their home is Savannah, Georgia. And they live in a make-believe world. They don't have to worry about the things I had to worry about. And that's what we always want a little bit better for our kids.
Man, I love it. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back with more about Nonline.
Fox News Radio on demand on the Fox News app. Download the app and just click listen. When you swipe left, you can listen to your favorite Fox News talk shows live. Swipe right for the latest Fox News Radio newscasts on demand. Fox News Radio on the Fox News app. Download it today.
All right, we're back here with Tyler Merritt, the founder and CEO of Nonline Apparel. So in my intro, I said that Nonline Apparel is a military-inspired apparel company. Did I hit close to the mark there? Or, tell me about it. Put it in your words and in the true words of what Nonline is.
Yeah. So actually, it came to fruition while I was still an air mission commander for the 160th SOAR. And we wanted to bridge the gap between those who serve and those who support us, right? We wanted to cut down that civil-military divide that was present at that time. And around 2012, I had the ability to start having a voice, and a voice that says we should support those who support us. That if anything, a nine-line in the military, as you know, it is when someone is injured on the battlefield, that they call in a nine-line, and that's a call for help. And someone like myself would fly in and and pull those individuals off the battlefield. And in the United States, I'd like to say that it's a call to action to be more patriotic, to do things that are good without ever being, you know, accredited for it. You know, just do good for your fellow countrymen. And so far we've been able to do those things, and we do it behind the scenes, and our core group of followers and our employees, they know what we do. We don't need to be boastful, but it's something that means a lot. You know, we put a lot of time, money, and effort to supporting our veteran service organizations and our law enforcement service organizations. And it means a lot to us.
I can tell you that the logo really stands out. Like, I see it on people's cars, and I see it on the sleeve of t-shirts, because you actually will manufacture and print t-shirts for other organizations, right?
Yes, sir.
And I'm glad you do that, because I need some t-shirts printed. And I told our mutual friend, I'm going to hit him up and pull a new friend favor, because everybody wants something, right?
But yeah, absolutely.
I kind of wanted to go into this story. We don't have a lot of time left, so definitely want to get to other things. But I know the guys that started, they're involved with Black Rifle Coffee Company now, and they started their own kind of t-shirt line years ago. And there was a time 5 or 6 years ago, there were kind of three t-shirt lines out there that kind of filled the same space. You guys were obviously one of them. And I'm not going to even name them, because they're not on my podcast right now. You guys are. So that's the benefit of coming on. But I guess my point is, from my perspective, 5 or 6 years ago, you guys were kind of competitors. And now there's a Black Rifle Coffee Company coffee shop in your building. So how did that, was a bridge built, or was the perception wrong on my end? Like, how did you end up kind of working with your competitor that way?
Well, it's kind of, just don't be a dick. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that word. Just if people have issues with one another, you know, I'm a very non-confrontational individual, right? I'm not tactful. I'm going to say exactly what I mean. And so do they. And I think there are some misunderstandings in the beginning of our relationship. It was a little bit turbulent, because my brother was involved with the company. My brother said some things that were misunderstood. So I was still active duty, but no one knew that I was running the company. So I flew out to meet all the founders of Black Rifle for the first time. And we joke about it on many different podcasts that we've got together since then. It's 2014. And at that time, you know, we saw value, and we still do see value in, you know, we don't need to be competitive in this space. We can be helpful for one another. You know, here's something that I do very well, or something that you do very well. You know, can we both work together and both make good money? And so far, I've been able to do great partnerships with Black Rifle, with Redcon One, which is a supplement brand. South Florida, I love those guys. With Bass Pro, you know, Johnny Horse is great. And I now have the luxury of being able to pick and choose my partners, right? I don't have any outside influence. I can work with whoever I want, and I can stop working with whoever I want. So it's life is short. Those guys are amazing. They might have some misinterpretations, because I'd like to say that we all want the best for our fellow veterans until they're successful for some reason.
You're exactly right.
And I feel that, you know, somehow get villainized, but they wake up super early and stay awake super late and work their butts off every weekend. And I'm so proud of their success. And I know there's a lot of people that are upset with some things that I think were misinterpreted with their vantage points, but that's their company. It's not mine. I just enjoy them as a partner, and people need to learn more before they jump to conclusions about a company sometimes.
No, I think that's a great lesson, and probably a perfect lesson for this podcast. So the reason why I wanted to bring it up is I know those guys, I know you, I see this energy, and it's cool to hear a good news story in a world where exactly what you said, like I used to call it based on the TV show, not being any other way here, but the Real Housewives of Texas nonprofits, because I worked in a Texas nonprofit that was for military, and like there were a half a dozen around me, and I'd get excited, like, oh, these are awesome. And then it would be like, oh, wait, I can't go to your event because you don't like that person, and you're at odds with that person, and this donor used to support that organization. And it really blew my mind. And eventually I just had to step back away from it for a while. And thankfully things grew and got better, but it's kind of human nature, I guess, that sometimes we put our elbows up before we reach our arms out.
No, I can work with just about anyone as long as you're not a, you know, D-I-C-K. And it's more about, you know, taking care of your people. So if someone is disrespectful to my people, you know, I'll let them know very candidly that, you know, their business is, or, you know, even if they're a customer, I would like to no longer work with you, because you only live once. It's not worth going to work hating your job. It's not worth the money to have a toxic relationship. And I could work with just about anyone, with one exception: jerks.
Well, as we wrap this up, we learned a lot more about you, about the ethos behind your company, what it does, and even some of the struggles along the way. As we wrap this up, this is the month of November. We just celebrated Veterans Day. You know, is there a message you have for the country or for veterans? And also, how can people get to know you more, follow you, get involved?
So I'd say the biggest lesson and the best piece of advice is slow down a little bit. If you see someone that needs help, you know, you might be really busy, but just take a moment. At that moment, light action saves someone's life. You know, there's people right now who are really struggling. I got a lot of friends who are leaving military servitude after 30 plus years in special operations and going from running and gunning and managing entire, you know, areas of operation, theaters, to, you know, looking for something to do meaningful. You know, giving back is meaningful, but really taking that second to say, hey, how are you doing? And actually stop and listen. That's the best piece of advice I could probably get.
I love it. I love it. Everything you've talked about today is kind of built on that basic principle of human humility. And I love that. I think that's really cool. Tyler, I appreciate you joining. Thanks for coming on for a quick conversation. And I'm not too far away, so I hope you get down there and visit you guys sometime.
No, absolutely, man. We got a big shooting event this weekend. It's called the Epic Shoot. So a bunch of 2A enthusiasts. I got a Little Bird helicopter to be shooting some machine guns at some Tannerite. So you're welcome to come down. It's Thursday to Saturday. And I think we might even have Herschel Walker coming by.
I hope that's our next senator. But to the very least, it's one of my personal football heroes. So that's really cool.
We're doing all of us a barrel. So
real quick, let people know where to find online the company, the foundation, and Tyler Merritt.
Yeah, if you Google search Nine Line Apparel, just spell it all out, or ninelinefoundation.org, you can learn more about our different philanthropic endeavors related to veteran homelessness, and or check out our apparel site and get some cool merch.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on, man, and I look forward to seeing much more of your success.
Thank you, sir. You too.
To put Tyler's words more eloquently, which not that they need to be, basically, be willing to work with folks and give everybody a chance, unless they're just straight up not willing to work with you, I guess. And I like how he said it. It's very matter of fact, and that's the kind of people we need in this country. To hear more stories like this, visit foxnewspodcast.com and be sure to check back next week for a brand new Proud American story. As always, I'm your host, Johnny Joey Jones. And thank you all for listening.
Jason in the House, the Jason Chaffetz Podcast. Dive deeper than the headlines and the party lines as I take on American life, politics, and entertainment. Subscribe now on foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts.